We're going to be in the book of Psalm 27 this morning. This message was prompted by some questions that I field from time to time, and something I think, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times that we probably all will question. Is the Lord seeing what's going on? Is He actively aware of what's going on in my life? And sometimes we cry out to the Lord, or we're challenged and facing difficult season of life, whatever it may be. Does it not sometimes seem as though the Lord is a little distant from us from time to time? It's interesting how that in the scriptures it bears out before us, as we've already so well introduced the topic of the message today in our song service, is that often we go through difficulties and we think that, well, is God aware of what I'm battling here, and is He aware that I'm really getting down? We would think that, well, that's something that only weak people in faith have a problem with, right? We may think that, well, only new believers struggle with that difficulty, or only those who really don't trust God, they struggle with that. Well, in reality, all of those descriptions I just gave describe me. Just about the time that we think that we have really got things figured out in the life, living for Christ, we find out how little we truly know. I accepted the Lord as my Savior at the age of 9, and I'm not so sure if I know a whole lot more than when I started then at the age of 9. The reality is that there's so much that God has to offer, and there is so much of who He is. It will take not just a lifetime, it will take all eternity to fully comprehend all that He is. And you know what's exciting is that all we look at heaven, we look at the existence of heaven, we look at our time with God in heaven, and that fact that He is infinite in all things, that we will always stand in awe of Him, inspired by the incredible vastness of His eternal existence, that He will always be above us, beyond us, and beyond us in all things. And all throughout heaven, we will never cease to bow to our knees and fall on our faces in adoration and praise. Eruptions of praise all throughout heaven, because He is infinitely, incredibly, eternally awesome. And isn't that word just ridiculous to use to describe Him? But yet, we don't even have the language to describe how great He is. And so as we talk about all these things, we can kind of talk about all these examples, and we get all excited about faith, we get all excited about God, and then I go back home, I go to my home by myself, it's quiet, and nobody's there, and I think, I'm not as excited as I was at church. Are you with me? We get to work, and we come face to face with that one that just drives us up a wall. And it's like, you know, I felt real spiritual when I woke up this morning, and my devotional is fading away real quick. All right, I was afraid I was the only one. Now I'm starting to get some responses. Well, you know, I'm not trying to say anything, Sister Amy. My administrative assistant seemed a little upset about that comment. I'm saying that in general terms, not pointing any fingers. So when we look at life and we go from day to day, am I the only one that sometimes my feelings and emotions are up one minute and down the next? You ever notice that even a song on the radio can lift our spirits, and then that, forgive my term, that idiot that cuts me off in traffic, I'm losing my mind. You know, I don't know why that bothers me so much, but my goodness, being discourteous, just, oh, Lord help me. And we look at all these things, and it's like, Lord, how can I go from this to this in a fraction of a second? Because I'm human, right? I'm weak. And a great deal of it depends on where's my focus. What is my focus? Well, in Psalm 27 is a psalm of David. And when you look at it, most scholars think that it probably falls within the time frame that Saul is hunting David, okay? So He's not a very, very young man, but we see that he's an aged man. He's not much later in life yet at this point, but we're seeing that he's middle-aged. So he's had some experiences. David, I mean, this is the same man that walked onto the battlefield to battle Goliath, right? Wow, David, he's a warrior, right? Not only a physical warrior, he's a spiritual warrior. We see that already he's written many songs. He played music for Saul for a time to calm the evil spirits that was in him and try to soothe him. And so we see a very talented man. We see a very spiritual man. We see a successful man, but yet at the moment being hunted by the king. So he's going through a very difficult season in life. And David begins to pour his heart out to the Lord. So let me read one verse to you to get us started this morning in Psalm 27, verse 14. And it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word. Your spirit will guide our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you just take control of my mouth and to speak your word and only your word. Use me as your mouthpiece. Move our hearts today in obedience to you. May we take courage in trusting in you. Lord, instill within us a steel resolve that we will follow you, but more than that, that we will know you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we look, we seek the Lord's presence, don't we? Especially at times of loneliness and difficulty, times of heartache, times of loss, whatever it may be, we seek His presence. We want to feel His presence, amen? I mean, isn't that what we come here today to somewhat expect? We want to feel the Lord's presence. I want to feed on His Word. I want to be challenged. I want to be convicted of my heart. And I want to leave here different than I came, right? Man. And so we seek that. But can I be honest with you? There are times I come up here and it's just like, Lord, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was struggling. I really was. The whole week, I was just struggling. And there's some of my prayer warriors online, and I told them, I just need you praying for me. I didn't tell them what it was. I said, I just need you praying for me. And they did. And the whole week was just a struggle. I handled them too well. And I come to Sunday, and it's like, Lord, I'm exhausted. I'm mentally spent. I got nothing left. I just don't have it. And I said, Lord, you're just going to have to do it. And can I just be open with you? I got up here and preached. I did my best, and I went home thinking that was lousy. That was lousy. And I had about three or four people come and say the same thing. That was awesome. You know what we have to be reminded of from time to time? It's not up to us to maintain the level of performance that only God can bring about in our hearts and our lives. Amen? Only He can bring about what needs to be done. And I keep thinking about Brother Michael Hurst, as he said in one of his messages, we must do what we can do, but we cannot do what must be done. That's God's department. And when we begin to search within ourselves, there are times that we begin to think, God, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know why I'm trying anymore. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to say. And everything seems wrong, and it seems to come out wrong. What is the point? I think we all come to those places at times. But whether or not we're down, God never gets down. God never gives up. He's already got the whole thing laid out. He's got every step planned, and He's got every blessing and every purpose and every strengthening and every confidence that you need. He's waiting, ready to send it on your way as we seek His face. So as we come to this scripture verse today, let me give you my introduction. Just kind of, I'm trying to encapsulate what I'm trying to communicate today. When we're talking about waiting upon the Lord, we're discussing the Christian life, that when one has trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and when they enter into a season of trials and times when the Lord seems to be quiet, we're talking about the Christian waiting upon God to carry out His purpose and to manifest His will in the lives of His children as we continue in faith, believing even when we do not see immediate evidence of His hand upon our lives. This reminds me of another quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says, when we can't trace his hand, we must trust his heart. You know, there's a great depth to that. And that was written by a man that struggled with severe depression. Isn't that honestly a surprising thing? He's been titled the Prince of Preachers. And I think if you study any at all about preachers, Charles Spurgeon's a pretty amazing source of God's Word. The depths of his linguistic ability and yet the limited education that he has, it's just God all over him. And yet to think that, oh, he had it all together, but yet when you look at him as a person, he had some severe, severe low points. So you know what, folks? None of us are immune to weakness. None of us are immune of being a little disappointed with ourselves and maybe others at times. But you know what? It doesn't have to eat our lunch. We can step out on faith and say, God, I'm aggravated, but you got the answer. So maybe you need to take over here. Amen? So that's what we're going to do this morning. My first point I want you to look at is our faith in God should not rest upon a feeling, but rather on the Word of God. I have said this over and over, and I hope that you do not think that as your pastor that I'm encouraging you not to respond in the service. I hope that you're too often. That is not what we're talking about. But what I am talking about is when we talk about feeling, too often people from the outside looking for God in a religious setting is looking for a emotional experience. In fact, the Scripture even tells us in the book of Corinthians, he says that the flesh profiteth little. The spirit continues to grow and increase, and yet we are fighting the flesh that it will become less. We want the spirit to become great. Amen? But I can tell you one thing, when the spirit's moving, the body's going to get busy. Amen? And we're going to get busy with what God is wanting and what he is guiding. But I want us all to start from the same finish line. Before we get into all of these things as far as what is it that we can do to be strong in the Lord, how is it that we're going to wait upon the Lord, first of all, where is the starting line in all of this? First of all, you must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There must be a time and place that you come to a personal conviction of sin upon your life, and you come before the Lord and you knew, I'm lost without you. I'm bound to a place called hell to be separated from you forever and ever. And that out of that conviction of hearing the gospel, hearing the Word of God, that you come to an understanding that in your lost condition, you needed a Savior. And that Jesus died upon the cross for your sins, paying the sin debt, the penalty for your sin. I always like to tell the kids, Jesus took your time out. That's pretty inviting, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus took your punishment so that you might go free. When you accept him by faith, you see that his death is enough, that he's willing to forgive you if you confess your sin, and that you say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to follow you starting now. And you do so in faith that he has accepted you. He has made you a child of God. To those he gave the right to become the children of God. So once you have entered into that personal relationship, this is what we're talking about, okay? Because there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about today that if you think that out of religious activity or works or even praying, and occasionally attending church is going to make you a Christian. That's no more than you sitting in your garage is going to make you a car. Man, the difference is made by the Spirit of God dwelling within you, changing you, bringing life to the Spirit. And so, folks, I think it's important that we have those distinctions. Sometimes people walk and leave a message and say, Pastor, I thought I was saved, but the more you talk about it, the less I'm sure of. Well, the problem is I want you to be sure. Amen? I want that to be settled in your heart. I want that to be settled in your mind so that you know that you know that you know. In fact, the Scriptures tells us that over and over. John, he mentions it in his Gospel. He mentions it in the Epistle of 1 John. He said, these things have been written so that you might know that you have eternal life. This is an important thing. Life is too short and eternity is too long. And hell is way too hot for us to be playing, I hope I make it. Amen? Let's get serious about what needs to be done. Stop playing the religious games. Stop looking around at people that all the things that they do, and I want to have that feeling, I want to have that experience. The reality is you want to have Jesus, not just a feeling or an emotion. All those things are byproducts. All those things come about knowing Jesus, but the primary source is Jesus Himself. And so when we talk about feeling versus faith, our up and down, we talked about that, right? They're a roller coaster. We come in feeling great, somebody says the wrong thing or has a negative comment, and then we're right back down again, right? And so we have all of those erratic things that go up and down, but here's the reality, is that even though we have feelings, those feelings are not always accurate and hardly ever true. Can you agree? You know, when I was a young person, I just thought, oh, feelings is everything. However I feel, that's the most important thing. But in reality, we find out that it really leads us off on the wrong tangents, doesn't it? You know, there were times that I just thought for sure my parents just hated me. Oh, just terrible. Oh, I had it so rough. Don't you believe a word of it. I was spoiled, still spoiled, according to my wife as she's having her most spiritual moment of the service today. Yes, he's spoiled, but she married me. Get over it. You're stuck. Spoilt is not always the easiest thing to deal with. But you know, then I had kids of my own. And then, you know, for a long time, I was the most horrible dad ever existed. Terrible. Wouldn't let them do what they wanted. Wouldn't let them do it how they wanted. Oh, how terrible. And oh, I was just the worst parent. And now today, I turn it back to them. Because now I got grandkids. And I said, oh, you're just so mean. Why don't you let that baby do? Oh, you just stop it. Yeah. Aren't you glad that sometimes that we just get so disgusted with God and frustrated? And thank God He's so much bigger than our feelings and emotions. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you for being patient with a spoiled bum like me. But yet He chose us. Amen. Now I'm teasing my wife that she's stuck. But you know what? By the covenant God who has committed covenant with Abraham. You remember that covenant? Laid out the sacrifices. And normally in that tradition that those sacrifices would be cut in half, laid out, and then there's a path that you would walk. And usually the two that are making a covenant would join arms and walk together down that aisle. Not this situation. Abraham fell asleep because God made him fall asleep. And then God passed through the path Himself. You know why? Because God was going to fulfill this covenant. That covenant has been made to Israel and it continues to this day. Amen. It has not been replaced by the church. The Lord still is working in and through Israel. He will still work through Israel as we see in the end time revelation. He still has a plan, a purpose, and He is not done with Israel. But now we, as New Testament church, we live under the covenant of grace. And that covenant of grace has been instituted by God and He has given it to us. He has obligated Himself to be our salvation. He has obligated Himself to be our sacrifice. He has obligated Himself to be the one who will fulfill all of those things all throughout eternity. He has given Himself and so therefore He's stuck with us. Oh, praise the Lord. No better place to be stuck. Amen. This is a stuckness that will outlast Velcro. Amen. Psalm 119. He says, the entirety of your word is truth and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. It's His word that we rest upon. It's upon His word that we depend upon. Faith will ground our feelings and our actions in the sure word of God. Faith will ground us in the eternal, perfect, and holy character of God and not our own weaknesses. Feelings is based upon what I feel about God, but faith rests upon the fact of who He is. And so, folks, part of our struggle in our world today is that we have become illiterate of the Scriptures. We've become completely illiterate of God's Word. And we think, oh, that's so old-fashioned or archaic that why would I ever have a book? It might do you some good. This one, I can guarantee you it will. But the problem is that we've not spent the time to labor over His Word. Our second point is our faith must be exercised. So we're moving from feeling, we're moving to faith. Okay? In maturity, we will exercise faith even when we are not immediately rewarded. That almost sounds like maturity, doesn't it? Right? Look back at Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. How many of you can say that today? Not only is he is my light, but he is the strength of my life. We look to so many other things to be our strength, don't we? We may even look to other people to be our strength, and then they fail us. You may look to your pastor to be your strength. You may be looking to your church to be your strength. Can I inquire that is not the place to go? Trust not the arm of flesh, for it will fail you. That's right. It will fail you. My own flesh fails me. I can guarantee it's going to fail you, right? But David said that he is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Over and over, Saul kept trying to capture and corner David. And every time, it just fell apart. It fell apart. And you think that, well, David was just so cunning and he was just so smart. But yet, when you look at the scriptures and you read these examples, it really wasn't David's cunning. It was his prayer life as God was guiding him. God, should I go? God, should I stay? God, should I strike? God, should I withhold? Over and over, all throughout scripture, you can see over and over, he confers with the Lord. He confers with the Lord. Why? Because God is the strength of my life. David learned to trust God. Not how he felt, because he felt that this is unfair. This is unfair. How is it that I can be hunted by the king that I've done nothing but try to make things right? It was out of jealousy and hatred that Saul was hunting him. So feelings would say, hey, I'm going to stand up for my rights. I'm going to yell until somebody notices. But yet there was no one to yell to except for God. His trust was in God, and he found that it was his strength and his protection. Every evil attack that they tried to throw at him would just simply fall apart. Verse 3, he said, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Isn't that great that he has the confidence? Where does that confidence come from? Trusting, not feeling. Let me share a quote with you. Many will feel 1,000 deaths in fearing just one. Think about that. Many will feel 1,000 deaths in just fearing one. We can get so wrapped up in worry and fret. My next one is seek his presence daily. Verse 4 and 5, he says that one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret places of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. Think about this for a moment. David didn't wait until the day of trouble came to seek the Lord. He sought the Lord first. Today, you may be living and you may be thinking, oh, you know, Pastor, things are going okay. I mean, you know, the Lord's blessing and I feel strong in my faith and things are going well and all this and that. And you may think that, well, I don't really need this today. My friend, now is a time that you desperately need this. Because life will get difficult. Life will always change and things will become desperate from time to time. And when we do, we want to be able to run to the Lord. But notice what David was doing. He was practicing the presence of God in his daily life. He was practicing it. And so when the heartaches and the difficulties and the disappointments came, it was just a casual conversation as God, here I am again. But now I've got different issues. I've got different needs. I've got different wants. What is it that we can do? How can I serve you best in this situation? It's an ongoing conversation. David wanted to be in the tabernacle. Sometimes I truly believe that he's talking about the collective worship that we come together. But I think it goes much deeper, is that David was looking for that personal closeness to the Lord. Because in the Old Testament, the very presence of God was within the tabernacle, within the holiest of holies, the very Shekinah glory of cloud of God. The very presence of God was upon that altar. And so wherever the tabernacle was, God was with his people. He was in the very center. They all encamped around the tabernacle. Why? They wanted the very presence of God to be very center of all that they are and all that they did. Child of God, are you doing the same? Are you seeking His presence, not just in a convenience sake, not just to make me feel better today? Too often we sometimes look at Jesus as being a cute, fuzzy little bunny that's going to make me feel good for the moment. He's not therapeutic. He is life-changing. Oh, how little we have made Him when in reality we have eternity before us if we simply call upon Him. Isn't it exciting that at His time of trouble, the Lord took Him and hid Him in His pavilion? He took David into the most intimate places of his heart. And He hides Him in His presence. What a great place to be, near to the heart of God. Amen? Next, we make prayer a priority. Verse 7, David calls upon the Lord. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Here's something that's interesting in David's conversing with God. He says, "Oh, Lord, Lord, hear me when I cry. Listen to me when I call out to you." The Hebrew word here for hear is shema. Shema means to hear, but not just to hear, but to actively act upon what you're hearing. Now, it's interesting that this word is used also for us and how that we receive God's message. And so, if we're going to expect God to do His part, child of God, are we doing our part? Amen? Oh, Lord, hear me. David, I hear you. I'm here. I'm watching. I know what's going on. But David, I'm telling you the answer, the solution is you look for me in all things. You look for me. David could have said, I'm just disgusted. I'm exhausted. I'm wore out. I'm tired of hiding in these caves. I'm tired of running like a criminal that I am not. I'm tired of all of this. David didn't do that, did he? He didn't yell out all of his injustices because God already knew the injustices. Amen? Nobody else could fix it. Even David couldn't fix it. But he said, "God, your face I'll see." Folks, not until we truly turn and begin to seek the very heart of God in everything that we do are we truly going to understand the very basis of what He's doing. Too often we want to just brush over the surface things and think that, well, I've got all these theological terms, I've got all these phrases, maybe I even got some quotes or something hanging on the wall or on my mirror or whatever it may be. But yet not until it becomes the very heart of our existence is it something that we're going to rely upon. So when we're talking about trusting, we're talking about going to the death with this. Amen? And not until we have committed ourselves to learn of the Lord and of His purpose. Now, he responds in an odd way, verses 8 and 9. He's asking the Lord, "Lord, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." This kind of threw me for just a moment. It's like, here we're talking about how that he's coming to the Lord. Now he's afraid the Lord's going to turn on him. Why would he feel that way? The very same reason that we all should feel that way is that we're weak. We may fail. He just watched what happened to Saul. Saul was called of God, the first king. And as he was ruling, everything was great, but yet Saul would not obey. And out of disobedience over and over and over, finally God says, "I am taking the kingdom from you, and I will give it to another." And that was David. David saw what happened to Saul. Wow, that's hard to say. Did you get that? David could see what Saul had done. That might be a little better. While he watched Saul fall, he realizes, "I'm human flesh. I don't want to fall. So Lord, help me. Help me." I'm going to jump down to my third point. As we wait, God proves that He is true. In Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, I wanted to close with these thoughts. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry." I want you to think for a moment as we go through this. We don't use that word inclined too much, but he says, "And He inclined to me." Can you see God at a resting position? And as he pulls to the front of his throne and he leans forward to hear those that are calling to him. And he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Believer, child of God, there are times that God will call us to respond. He will call us to continue on in the most horrible of situations and circumstances. And we may be thinking, well, Lord, where is this going to pay off for me? How is this going to work out for me when in all reality, he's not working it out for you, but he's working it out for his honor and glory? Can we look past and just a little bit beyond of what we're experiencing to the future glory that God has in store? In our text, David says that I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. A great warrior of faith, seasoned in battle and difficulties of faith. But he even admitted, I almost fell. I almost gave up. But I looked ahead. And I know that he's true. I know that he is faithful. And based solely upon his word, we're going to continue. Child of God, can you do the same? If we're looking for feelings and we're looking for this to work out immediately today, that's not going to give you the strength that you need. But when we look at God's word, we see that he has been faithful. And we realize that he's faithful in our life today. And did you notice at the end of Psalm 40, many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Why would anybody fear when God has delivered me? Because your enemies want to overcome you. But when they find out that you're in the arms of the Lord and you're untouchable, I'm not saying that we're not going to suffer. But even though they kill the body, they cannot touch our soul. Even Satan cannot touch your soul. The worst of the worst may come before us. But yet the God of all glory, creator of the universe, hovers nearby. And here's the end result. They will see it. They will fear. But many will trust in the Lord. Sometimes you look around and think that there's no use in me going through this. There is no purpose in this hurting and this pain. It needs to go away and it needs to go away now. And yet, on the outside, as in the book of Hebrews, we're encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses watching, heavenly and earthly, watching God work in and through your life. Your suffering may be the testimony that someone needs to hear. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer as Brother Mike continues to play. There's a lot for us to think about here today. I don't know where you're at in the challenges of life. Maybe you're on a mountaintop today and excited about what God is doing and rejoicing. Can I encourage you, child of God, don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent. But continue to seek the Lord's heart. Continue to grow in these disciplines that we've talked about and being committed to prayer and seeking his presence daily and trusting and not feeling. But allow him to be the stability that you need in the future. Because I assure you, you'll need him. Maybe some of you are struggling through the valley today. And you're just trying to grapple with how to survive this. You're not alone. As a psalmist here, David hit some rock bottom places. No matter how strong that we think we are, no matter how good things have been for how long, there's still times that will, circumstances that will drive us to our knees. But can I encourage you, Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane alone, but he won't let you kneel alone today. He's with you. He's working for you. It reminds us of Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those who love him, those who are the called according to his purpose. So we come today. Lord, fulfill your purpose. Whether it's in joy or whether if it's in suffering. But Lord, don't allow this time to go by without us trusting in you, bringing glory to your name, and allowing our lives to be a testimony to others. Lord, I ask that you'll bless each and every heart here today, wherever they find themselves, whatever the circumstances may be. May their example be an inspiration to us. May their example be a testimony to the lost. And then, Lord, in turn, that we come together collectively, that we will celebrate the infinite, holy, and just God. The one that we trust, the one that we follow, the one that we fall upon when we have nowhere else to go. Lord, the psalmist even went so far to say that when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Lord, no matter how desperate the situation may be, no matter if everyone left us and turned their backs on us, we still would not be alone. What a magnificent thought. More than that, what a magnificent reality. That as your children, we can remain true to you. Lord, give us your courage. Give us your strength. That we will be found faithful. And when we fall, that we'll run to you to be restored. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.